This is Sunday, October 3rd, 1955.
Found the same old Dr. Henry C. Kennedy, Dr. Kennedy. Thank you so much. Now, I like to not about head, but I don't want to be a big problem. But since I have to be a revelation, and it is my story to add on you, I think I should say something about it. Right. And the confirmation of what you just said. Now, first of all, just like this, as he told you, now I have been in attendance. I was 70 years old in that day, 30 September, and all my life I studied just like anybody else. Yes? He told you that I wanted to be an assistant pastor in the Church of God for around 15 years. He told you that, just like the other fellow out here. I formed opinions and concepts just like anybody else, and imagination just like anybody else. See? And I had my concepts and opinions about things just like anybody else. You see what I mean? Now, I want to say this. I don't have nothing to brag about, nothing to boast about, any more so than anybody else. Mm-hmm. And I want you to know why you're looking at me, you're looking at one fella in the world that has been just as wrong as anybody else. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, I don't have to stop and try to prove you how wrong I was. You already know. You see what I mean? You know that by yourself. You see? Now, carnal mind just doesn't penetrate the spiritual realm. You see what I mean? And now, since it don't, why then, of course, it's not exceedingly sensitive. Now, all my concepts and all my teaching and all my investigations, and I'd like for you to know this. From a little old babe, when my mother used to carry me to Sunday school, and I'd hold on to mother's hand, she'd say, well, son, you were going to Sunday school, and, you know, they had them little cards, you know, and all, but they had junior Sunday school lessons on. I used to wonder to myself, well, when is Jesus coming? And everybody was talking about Jesus coming, you know, that's all that. And I hope to meet him in Sunday school someday and get acquainted. But everybody's talking about Jesus. You know what I'm talking about? Now, I'm just showing you a child mind. You see? And I grew up that way. Wanting to know something about God. It just wrapped up in my bones, and I wanted to know. So then, that's how I come to big religion. In the Methodist Church first. They went from the Methodist to the Holiness Church. Now, they said that they were type teaching the very most strictest religion there was on earth, as sanctification and holiness. See? Now, that's what they said, and that's what I believe. And I had that confidence in them. And then they were reading chapters and verses out of the Bible. Now, they're good Bible students, and can commit to memory. See, just fine. And I went along with it and got pretty well up in it. See? Just like you would in the present day religious denomination. You understand what I'm talking about? Now, we've been through all of that. See? Get the point? Now, there's nothing for us to learn about that. See? Get the point? But now, what we want to know now. What we are seeking to know now is not so much of what you're teaching out there, somebody's concept. Mm-hmm. What we want to know now, we want to know about God and the universe in its totality. We want the real thing now. You understand what I'm talking about? Now you hear them shooting up in the sky, rockets up in the sky.
making an investigation, invasion of space, and so forth, and so on. You understand what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Now, Russia's doing that same thing. Which is an open confession and an admission that they don't know.
Right.
And we're doing the same thing over here in the so-called religious and Christian country, which is the same thing. They don't know. What's your objection then? Try to find out something for true and reality about it. We don't have to go way up there above the sun, moon, and stars to find out about God. He's as much down here as he is up there.
Right.
And if it won't work down here, it won't work up there. We have to have a workable solution to the problem down here as well as up yonder. You understand what I'm talking about? Somebody said, well, you understand that I'm an atheist. Now what he just said, unconsciously, is he's mentally deranged. Now that's what it says.
You see the point?
Well, we're agreeing. And another thing he means by that is this. He disagrees with the philosophy taught by Christendom. And when I say Christendom, I have to narrow it down to Roman Catholicism and Protestantism. Now, Roman Catholics, they claim to be the successors of the apostles. And they hold a reputation, the truth. You understand? And listen, let me tell you something. As Dr. has shown you, so far the investigation is trying to find out something about what Roman Catholics is. Now, we know here. Now, I can't find nothing. Not a thing that they teach that is right. Nothing! Now that sounds kind of like somebody wants to throw off something on, don't it? Not so. We don't want to throw off on nothing. I can't find nothing that's Protestantism is teaching is right. See, then that automatically then would make me, according to their convictions, of that would make me one of the outstanding atheists. See? But I don't believe no parts of it. See? Get the point? Now the real truth about it is, there is a God. Now, God is the only atheist that exists, because he don't believe there's no other gods outside him himself. Now, he's the devil, that's the worst God that we can talk about. You understand? We can't talk about nothing any worse than the devil. Is that right?
Right.
Now, the devil himself, he believes in God and he's feared and trembled.
Right.
You see what I mean? Now there's no way for you to be any worse than he is. See, we won't allow nobody to get the advantage of it here. Get the point?
Yes, indeed. He knows better.
Open your book to the 8th chapter of St. John in the 44th verse.
Ye are of your father the devil.
Now this is Jesus talking to the Jews or to the Hebrews. Now I'll tell you the truth about that. That wasn't Jesus. See what the investigation does, boys. Now this Bible has been interpolated. It definitely and positively is not Jesus Christ.
Wait, no, I'm not talking about you please all your life. We're talking about the truth about it now. One that you'll find out when you come down here. See what the investigation does? See how it show you? That ought to be something for you to learn today. If you don't never get no further. You understand? You ought to learn something about that. You understand? Well, somebody said, well, now, you don't, you know, I don't believe that. Well, why don't you go on and investigate? What are you going to do? Just go on stupid all your life? So I said, well, my mother and my father, they died in the thing, you understand? And if it's good enough for them, it's good enough for me. Well, I don't know about that. Well, a lot of people died with the wrong confession. Is that right?
Right.
Good point? Mm-hmm. Now down here what we have taught you, is it? Well, let me tell you about this first. Now let me tell you about Jackson. Christian. Now if you know anything about history at all, you understand? If you know anything about it, you know then that comes from India. That is still going on over in India.
Right.
See? I even in the book, I don't know whether we've got one here or not. In the book, I showed you where, and there's been a lot of research done, and you won't find one Jew in the world. That believes in Jesus Christ. He'd rather die the death of an outcast dog.
Mm-hmm.
The patients have been trying to choke it down their throat, and the patients have been found, no. Go to the Vatican and investigate in the sacred revelation.
Yeah.
Yeah. To that they know that.
You see what I'm
saying? That is not as many. The scriptures don't teach that that's as many.
Right.
You see? Here's the book. We wrote this book. Be nice if you get into it and try to learn something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Real nice. See, now here's it. Greek. Here's a whole article wrote up on it.
See?
4 or 5 pages in here.
That's right.
And here's the research that's been done on.
That's right.
See, and right over here is Dexter's Christian, an idol. Translated down into your language, Jesus Christ. That's right. That's a Hindu sun god from India.
Right, right.
Right, right. See? That's interpreted in your Bible. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But people, they won't stop to look up nothing. They don't understand. They just go right on with their dogmatic creeds and whatnot. The paper say itself knows better than that. What did they say about it? Said that meant a lot to them. He's robbing the world. Now he's correct now. You have it in your Bible. You have it back over in Over, too. You see the point? David spoke of it a lot. Look at the first chapter of Matthew. 7th chapter of Isaiah and the 14th verse. I'm going to hurry on now, too. So while I try to speak fast, I want you to try to keep up with it. And that's the reason why I try my best to tell you this too concerns everybody.
Yes, yeah,
that's right.
You see what I mean?
And we don't have no little circumscribed doctrine that's taught by somebody.
Therefore the God himself shall tell you.
Therefore the true God himself. The God himself.
Shall give you a sign.
Shall give you a sign. That almost drove me up into something else, eh? From two ways. First, the Torah, which is the law and the prophets. And we said to the law and to the testimony, they speak not according to this verse because there's no my testimony. Right?
Right?
Now when he goes to that, he restated Moses, he wrote the Torah out of Pentateuch. You understand? Restated Moses. That's the supposed somebody that wants to read that. Then what do you do? You see what I mean? What do you do? See now, the Torah or the Pentateuch was the first and original writing of Moses.
That's right.
Now we don't have that other long chart here to show you, but on that long chart we have there a man standing up in conjunction in relation to this. Head Babylon, Media, Grecia, Persia, and Rome. Right?
Right?
We talk about the Babylonian captivity. The Babylonians overthrown by the Medes and Persians. The Medes and Persians overthrown by the Greeks. Now I want you to see what I'm talking about. Now down in Alexandria, Egypt, they made a new translation of the Bible. Of the Torah, or the Pentateuch. What did they do that for? Because as it come down, you understand, it's a Babylon, Media, Persia, Greek, and Rome, and then the Jews and the Hebrews. See, they were in captivity. See, in dispersed Mesopotamia, Media, and Assyria, 10 tribes of them. Is that right? Another two tribes, see, which is actually called one tribe, and that's the tribe of Judah and also the tribe of Levi. You understand? And then we ain't eased up out there, just like you are around in the United States of America. You learn to speak the English language. And so they, you understand, learn to speak the Greek language. Therefore, the translation from the Hebrew to the Greek was made. See? You understand what I'm saying?
That's right.
In Alexandria, Egypt. You see? Now, what you have in your Bible, I mean from Genesis on, see, is a translation. It's Greek terminology. See? Now, there was no other translation made between that time and the time that Messiah was born. You see? So, a lot of the expression that you have there is Greek, translated over into the Greek. From the Hebrew. Now when we want to really know something about it, we go on down and investigate Hebrew, Greek, Latin, everything you can think of. And what he just read there, the reason why I called your attention to it is this. See, I say all that, say frankly, says the Lord himself. See? Shall give you a sign. That right? Well, now that wasn't the way I did it. You understand? Yahweh, that's the Father.
That's the way it was in the original Pentateuch. That's the way it was in the Torah. Yahweh himself shall give you a sign. God is a title. Yahweh is a name. Johnson is president. The title is the president. The name is Lyndon B. Johnson.
That's right.
You see what I mean? All right.
Shall give you the Lord.
Shall give you the Son.
Behold a virgin
shall conceive.
And bear a son. And shall call his name Emmanuel.
Huh? What'd you say? Don't you see, I didn't say that. Now what I'm doing now is investigating the divine authenticity, the accuracy and infallibility of the scriptures. To find out whether this is so or not. Paul's contention was this. Said all scriptures told Timothy, all is given by the inspiration of God. Is that right? What follows for correction? For instruction? What's all that for? So that the man that is of Yahweh or of God might be perfect. Not an idiot. You get acquainted with God as he really is, but well, you've got to have some acquaintance with the devil too.
You
were talking about? You got to start by saying, I. This is a test. Now, we're not gullible down here. A virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. Now, when you go through here and look at the name, like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Hosea, and Jonathan, and stuff, those names signify something.
All right.
Understand the name itself.
Yeah.
Moses, drawn out. You understand? You get it? Vowels and symbols in the Hebrew language. They mean something. Okay? Now you read Isaiah 7:14, didn't you? A virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. Well, now listen here. When you read that with me, now I'd investigate that. Right there. I want to know what that was getting right now. I'm not going to investigate that by the scripture. Why should a virgin conceive and bring forth a son? What for? What's it all about? You see the point? You understand? Everybody gets yuck, yuck, and we believe this and we believe that. It's not that way down here.
Yeah.
Now, he told you that all scripture comes by the inspiration of God. Now then, you want to know what the inspiration of God is. And Moses was supposed to have written the Pentateuch of the Torah. And I don't think he's any better alive than anybody else. You get it? get over to somewhere, ain't that right? He makes any mistakes, if he didn't come from God, be found out about it, ain't that right? We'll investigate. You understand? They say he's a prophet. You understand? They said Malachi, and they said Jeremiah, and we even got down to the place where they call him Major and Minor. Now, there's no such thing as no Major and Minor prophet. See, if it was God, God's the only prophet. And with God speaking through one of these men, God said what he wanted to say, whether it was much or little. And that's the way it is. You get the point? Now, let me show you what I'm talking about. Now, this virgin conceived and bring forth the son. Now, what I have to do then, I have to go way on back to investigate and find out about this virgin conceived and bring forth the son. And why did God waste his time to do it this way? That is, get begun. Now Moses, he said too, over there in Deuteronomy. Are you listening? A prophet shall the Lord thy God raise up unto thee like unto me. Him shall you hear. Now I wouldn't pay no attention to that if Isaiah hadn't said what he said. Now I wouldn't pay no attention to what Isaiah said unless Moses said something about it. Because all of it is supposed to be coming direct. You understand from Yahweh, the God of the universe. You understand what I mean? Yes. In other words, the law and the prophecy, one must confirm the other.
Yes.
They are the two witnesses. If one don't confirm the other, there's something wrong.
Yes.
See? Now Moses said that. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. Now you can go right down here to the library. Got great fish, and this is a great big fish. Go to New York and go in the library. Go anywhere you want to. Go in the library. Go to Jerusalem if you want to. It don't make no difference where you go. See, you won't find none of the books, scientifically nor otherwise, that's been able to prove the origin of the universe. Now, here you read my case, you begin telling me about prehistoric stuff. You tell me you're a scientist, you talk to me about prehistoric. See? Then you think it's smart to go down in the reptilian age and talk to me about the dinosaurs and the big mastodon that roamed the face of the earth in those days. Prehistoric, meaning this, before anybody kept any record of it. What the dinosaurs and the big mastodons that roamed the face of the earth in those days.
Yeah.
Prehistoric, meaning this, before anybody kept any record of anything. Then you run out and you dive down in the core of the earth. You tell me you're a geologist. See? And you tell me about the different masses of the formation of dirt on rock. You understand? And then you count how long it takes for that mass of dirt, you understand, to crystallize into the rings and all the rocks. And you tell me just about how many years it takes. That's geological research. See? Then you go out and you cut down some of the trees and you say the rings around in the tree. See, we know what it's all about, too.
Determine the age of the tree. You say you're a scientist. Right? Right. You see what I mean? Now you say this is prehistoric. See? Before any records were set, none of these of the Egyptians came. You kept records even before the Jews broke. You understand? You go on back now, you see, and you try to trace it on back. And you're a brilliant idea. See? Get the point? See, you think that sounds smart. You think you're outstanding. See?
Well, look here. Genesis. Moses is supposed to be right. Are you listening? He's writing about the one that created the universe. He's writing about what was created. And he, in other words, he's writing his history. See, that covers the genesis and everything else. See? There ain't anything prehistoric. You see what I mean? He's talking about the creator and the creation. He's writing the history. Now he said, all scripture done by the inspiration of God, so says the apostle. Isn't that right, man? Then Moses is up here seeing a vision. Up here in the mountain, seeing a vision. Mind transformed and elevated on into the eternal realm. While that cloud covers the mountain six solar days, that's the one rising of the sun is setting to the earth.
Yeah.
You understand? And God, Yahweh, has given him a vision way past Adam. You see what I'm talking about? And what he's doing is just writing down what he saw in the vision. And he said, in the beginning of the vision. Now, in the beginning of the vision.
That's right. In the beginning of the vision.
Not the beginning of creation. You see now?
Right.
Now if I jumped up right quick. Now if you want to tell me that God is the creator of everything, animate and inanimate, every object, and everything is in everybody. Now here you run up to my face, you want to tell me that Moses was right there looking at him, and Moses would be co-eternal with God. Well, we have to learn all these things out there. So it's Moses now, way after the creation had taken place. God created the creator, followed him up into the top of the mountain, standing out by the cloud cover of the mountain, six solar days. And I have you to know that God did not create the universe in those 6 days. So I said, well, let me see how you read on the 20th chapter of Exodus saying. Remember the Sabbath day, for in 6 days God created the heaven and earth? What's the matter with you, man? Hey, you don't believe in the Bible. No, God did not create the universe in those 6 days. I can show you that. Now let me show you that. See, if God created the universe in 6 days, listen, the day will have to be there first. For God to create something in the day. Now the sun was supposed to rule the day and the moon the night. According to the record, is that right? You understand? Well, if the sun is supposed to rule the day, then you'd have to have a sun out there to give some light to part of the day. Trying to create something in.
Now you tell me that God created heaven and earth in 6 days. Well, who created the day? Why did he create what's in the day? see? Now you get down off of that stupidity when you come down here.
You see the point?
Well, we didn't say you wasn't a good, well-read Bible student. Nonsense. The Bible says the flood is under the place and Moses was lifted down from the flood. You understand? Then some of the advanced theologians, they say that Adam couldn't write the history of the creation of heaven and earth. Well, why? Why could Adam write it? Well, he didn't know what took place 5 days before he was created himself. Could he? Answer me! Well, if he's disqualified on that, if he can't write it because he don't know what took place 5 days before he was created, then how is Moses going to write it? Now, how's Moses going to write? You disqualified Adam. Mm-hmm. When you said he was created on the 6th day, he couldn't tell you nothing about it. You understand? Until God did on the 6th day, he made the man down there. You wasn't talking about it. You won't let him write about what's back here because he said he wasn't created. Mm-hmm. You see? See how you get up against it? Now, these things they can't answer out there in the Then if Moses could, then if Adam couldn't write because he didn't know what took place 5 days before he was created, then how do you think Moses way down here could write the history of the creation of heaven and earth? Mm-hmm. What are you talking about, man? I'm talking about a behold, a bird himself is seen and bring forth a son, and that's the call his name, man. That's what I'm talking about. Now, Moses, up in this mountain, up in Mount Sinai, a cloud that brought Israel out of Egypt, drifted over the top of Mount Sinai, and God spoke the commandments. Yahweh spoke the commandments from Mount Sinai. And then afterwards he called Moses, Ahab, Abihu, and 70 elders up into the mountain. Now listen, now there's always somebody standing up talking about this. You know, I don't believe in God. See, I guess not. Because you don't know nothing about a ghost. For the most part. You understand? You see? Then, when he called him up there, then he saw this pure stick, which is inconceivable, incomprehensible, inscrutable. You understand? Not ghost like that is the ghost. In shape and form. Now that's Yahweh. That's Joshua. That's Elohim. In shape and form. You see what I mean? Now first, you have to see that. You had to see that before he seen any of that.
Right.
70 elders had to see that shape and that form of that before they saw anything else.
That's
right. See the point now? That's number one, the first. See? Now look, you don't just go to work and say that.
You understand? You don't go to work and get paid that. You have to have some proof.
Then Moses said that in that vision, he saw, and the elders saw it too.
Yeah. They come back down, and Moses and Joshua stayed in the mountain. And Moses came into the midst of the cloud. You understand? And there he saw, during the time that that cloud hung over that mountain, those are the six solar days that Moses saw in a vision. Now that's almost good. That drags me up to a place where I have to show you something else. He saw him create in that vision. During them 6 days that cloud hung over the top of the mountain. He saw in that vision. And he said in the beginning of what's written off, the beginning of the vision. In the beginning of the vision, he said, Yahweh created the heaven and earth. Now, are you listening? That Yahweh, God, created the heaven and the earth. Now, are you listening? And the earth was without shape and form. Is that right? It was without shape and form. I said, Yahweh created the heavens and the earth. And the earth without shape and form. God was upon the face of Jesus. And the Spirit of God was upon the water. God said, let there be light, and there was light. The evening and the morning was the first day. That's what Moses saw, the first day. Then he was in that cloud. You understand? He saw a vision, a rerun of the creation. See? And the earth was without form. Is that right?
Yes, right.
God is upon the face of the deep. Is that right?
Yes, right.
God divides the light and the dark. Well, what did he do that for? Yes. You see? He said, well, he's creating by himself, and he is the artifact of heaven. But if this tabernacle here, which he has transformed and transfigured into this, if it was threefold, then so also is this. But in him, I told him, where it's all the fullness of God is, Father, down here too. You understand? Right. Moses said then they saw this in Moses. They saw this fence, they saw this pattern. And God says to make sure, Moses, that you make all things according to the pattern showing you in the mountain. Mm-hmm. By Paul, because the figure of heaven is things. Hebrews 9:7. Isn't that right? Mm-hmm. Now if you move that thing out of order, then you've got the whole scheme of things all messed up.
Yeah.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Now that tabernacle was threefold. See? It had a so you can see. I don't care if somebody gets that point out to be with me. See, it had a most holy place in the tabernacle. It had a holy place in the tabernacle. And it had a court around the tabernacle. Now that's what he saw in the vision. You see? Now this is supposed to be a figure of tabernacle, a figure of everything in existence. Everything God used. So then that's the division, the most holy place is divided from the holy place. You understand?
Yeah.
You understand? And Yahweh is the archetype pattern.
Yeah.
You understand? You hear me now?
Yeah.
Then every animate and inanimate object in the universe got to fit the pattern.
Yeah.
So therefore, Adam's got to fit the pattern. And Adam, over in Russia, don't make no difference where it is, who cares?
All you find in an atom, there's a proton, a neutron, that can neutralize. That could be the power, the word.
See,
now
it
comes to neutralize it. Word was made
flesh
and transformed. Come on,
back again. You see? You understand?
Neutralize it.
You understand? Yahweh. You understand? The Father. The Word. And Holy Ghost.